1 Kings chapter 19 in your Bibles. We do not have a speaker tonight at the banquet. We'll eat a great meal together. It's a Valentine banquet to show our love to you and love for one another. It'll be a time of fellowship. We'll hear the kids sing. So if you were dreading how long we were going to be there or something like that, you don't have to. You can come and eat and have a good time and sit at a round table together. And our ladies decorated them, so I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like. Thanks to everybody that set it up. Natalie, thank you for the offertory today. And Miss Benzio for filling in for Gwen while she travels some. I've said all along I want to become more aware of God in my day in 2015. I want to be more aware of my relationship with God, that I don't go days or hours not thinking of Him or thanking Him or forgetting to my relationship with Him, just living life like I'm in charge. I don't want to do that. I understand that to know more of what God wants of me, I have to be close to God. I have to be listening for God to speak. God reveals to them who love Him His plan and our part in it. And I need that myself personally, and I need that as a pastor of a church, to know where God would have us to go. I need God. I'm a needy person. Emotionally, I need God's help. I need God's strength to do the work of the ministry. I need God in my daily life so I don't make blunders and horrible mistakes and decisions that would affect my family in the adverse because I'm not walking close to God and staying in touch with the Lord. And I want God in my life. I want to be a Christian. I want people to know I'm a Christian. I want people to respect me as a Christian and to have a testimony that's above reproach, not to brag about, but to glory in the Lord for His mercy and His grace to save us and keep us as the anchor holds. I need a constant stirring in my life, a reviving in my life, a renewal in my life to get back to that place where God's most important to me and I haven't let things sidetrack me and get my attention away from the Lord and the Bible and get back to that place where I know I need to be close to the Lord. Amen. Hearing God speak to my heart and having God reveal things through His Word to me so that I can share them with other people. I feel that our national leaders have failed us. I feel that America is turning away from God and away from the Bible. And I feel like people have failed us. And sadly, in the 35 years I've been here, I have personally dealt one-on-one and preached to, shared the gospel with thousands of people. And a good Sunday that we have attendance here would be 200 or a little more. In 35 years, I've dealt with thousands. But there is a remnant that serve God faithfully and live for God faithfully. So many who don't have any time for church, don't have any time for God, don't have any time for the Bible, don't see the importance or the necessity. And I feel a failure in that, both that they have failed me and somehow I have failed God in reaching them in some way. It makes me understand how Elijah felt on this day. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and beginning with verse number, I'll just give you a summary, verse 1 through 3. Ahab had told Jezebel what Elijah had done in killing off the prophets of Baal, and Jezebel had sent a threat to Elijah that she would take his life in a day's time. The Bible says in verse 3 that he arose and went for his life. He left his servant, verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals. I bet it was cornbread. and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. My friends, that's part of why we're here today, is the journey of life is too great for us. What we face as parents is beyond us. What we face as husbands and fathers and wives and mothers and growing up in this world and to make a living and a career and all these things is too great for us without God's help. It's too great for us without somebody leading us and guiding us and giving us wisdom and advice and all of those kind of things. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Can you imagine to eat meat that lasted 40 days, the strength of it? I get hungry again in about 30 minutes most of the time. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Can I ask you that question today? Why are you here? Why are you here today? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of the hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Do you know we don't know everything? We don't have all the information. Only God does that. There may be more faithful people to God than we realize. And that was the case with Elijah. He thought he was the only one left. God makes it very clear he's not the only one left. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount of the Lord. Most of you know this story. He stood there and there were great and terrible events that took place. There was a great wind and a great earthquake. But God was not in these things. But then he heard a still, small voice. And he wrapped his face in his mantle, his cloak. And God spoke to Elijah. Verse 12 said, The earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? God asks him a second time, Why are you here? And second time, Elijah gives the same answer. And God said, Go and return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you'll come to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. If it were not for the faithful remnant of those who love God and want to serve God and want to help you serve God, I would easily be so discouraged, I'd be like Elijah. I'd go sit under the tree and just ask the Lord to take my life because it's too hard. It's too difficult. There's too big of a trial for a person to face. I can't make this journey without some strength from God that is not normal human strength. And you need that help and you need that encouragement and you need other people. If you've never faced it, if you think you're a self-made person, one day God will let you get on your face in prayer and you'll recognize you need more than just you. You need God and you need other people. And God will place other people in your life at times to encourage you and guide you and give you a message from the Lord, because we don't have all the answers and we don't have all the information. God sees what we cannot see, and God knows tomorrow what will happen when we don't know. I'm concerned with the way our nation has gone. The Bible says, "Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good." Christianity is being looked upon today, and Bible-believing people being looked upon as bad and evil and mean-spirited and all that sort of thing. Why? Because we don't accept what the Bible calls sin as okay for everybody to do. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." I'm aggravated and frustrated and upset with our national leaders, and I'm upset that there are people who are satisfied with a weak brand of Christianity that we have in our society today. A little religion. I've told y'all before about that movie way back years ago with George C. Scott, where he was the president of a hospital. I think the name of the movie was Hospital. And a man came in there to get a physical because he was wanting to become a missionary to go somewhere. And they got the wrong tag on him or something in the room. And they cut out one of his kidneys and they damaged the other one, reduced him to a coma and almost killed him. He was just there for a physical. And his daughter was there explaining to George C. Scott, the president of the hospital, you know, why he was there and what was going on in their lives and all that. She said, "We didn't want much religion, so we were Methodists." Hollywood said that? She said, "But my father started going to one of these Bible studies. And he got zealous about things of God. He wanted to go to some remote Indian tribe to be a missionary." Of course, in the movie, he spoke in unknown tongues or something that belonged to this Indian tribe and all that sort of thing. But a lot of people choose to go to churches so they don't have any responsibility. So that they can say they have a little religion, but they don't want it to affect how they live in their daily life. Some say, "I want more of God." But they won't interrupt their schedule for Him. Other things are still a priority over church and service for the Lord. And quite often in this age, with people who have disposable income, it is a matter of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God is characteristic of the age in which we live. When we come to church, we come to hear something from the Lord. That's what we need in our lives. We need to hear from God. We need something from the Bible. We need something to help us survive. There may be people here whose marriages are in trouble, or who they are having a struggle themselves in some way, emotionally or physically, and they need something from God that's going to help them today, because they don't feel like they want to see tomorrow if something doesn't happen. Why are we here? We're here to hear from the Lord. You're not here to hear my views on political things. Sometimes that has application to the Bible, as our leaders pass laws that are strictly sin. But just talking politics in general, that's not what you need when you come to church. You need to hear from God. It's not my preferences that you need to hear. It's not my philosophies that other people influence me about that you need to hear. You need to hear from the Word of God. You need to hear from God. You need to hear a message from the Lord and get what God has for you today. I've said many times, you've heard me, we don't need to get our philosophy of life by listening to Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Phil and some evangelist on television who's just on there to beg for money from people. We need to hear from the Word of God. We need to be listening for God to speak. Elijah was depressed and discouraged and asking God to let him die after he had just slain the prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. And we would think that was a wonderful spiritual victory. But Elisha's just empty. He's depressed. He may be a little afraid that Jezebel's going to send people down to kill him off and that he'll be the last of the prophets. He's just plain tired of the battle. He's tired that people have turned away from God. The nation of Israel has violated the covenant of God. He was discouraged about all of this. And we all face discouragement. Discouragement, depression, feelings of inadequacy. All of those things ultimately boil down to the fact that we're having an episode of a lack of faith. Because if we got faith in God, we aren't supposed to have to worry and be discouraged and be defeated. We're supposed to lay our problems at the feet of the Lord in prayer and believe God loves us and God can take care of us. You say, you do that all the time, preacher? Absolutely not. I lose sleep sometimes worrying over things and fretting over things, and I'm telling myself all along, I've got to leave this alone, I've got to give it to God, I've got to quit worrying about it. And we try to learn to do that. 40 days he went in the strength of this, pursuing where the angel had sent him. God has always had a place to meet with him. And Elijah is coming to the place at the mountain of God in the cave here to meet with God. And God's always had a place for his people to meet with him. In the old days, Abraham would just set up a pile of rocks and pour oil on it, and that would be an altar to God, and that's where he would meet with God. Moses met with God at a burning bush. God established the place for Jacob to meet. He called Bethel, and it was the house of God, is what the word Bethel means. And he met with God over that pile of rocks that he had anointed and called Bethel. Later, he went back to that place when he needed something from God again, and he changed the name to El Bethel. And that meant the God of the house of God. We don't come here for the house of God. We come here to meet the God of the house. We come here to get something from the Lord, to exalt Christ, to hear from God today. Why are you here? We live in an age where people have forsaken God and turned away from Him. They've turned to what is false. And that characteristic is the same whether it was Elijah's day or whether it's our day. God revealed himself to him. He passed by and he saw the rocks broken up, the earthquake, a great wind and a fire, but God was not in these things. We are often looking for the magnificent and the spectacular, and we fail to listen for the still, small voice of God's guidance in our life. God's all-knowing. God's ever-present. God is all-powerful. And that was a demonstration of that in these events. When God came down on the mountain to give the commandments to Moses, they saw lightning and they heard thunder and the earthquake and all that. The presence of God shows up. These things happen. And in this church, if God's presence shows up, things will happen. But the things are not the voice of God. We've got to listen for the voice of God. We've got to want to hear the voice of God. We've got to be seeking the voice of God. Now, God has given us His Word that reveals His voice to us. He's not going to speak to us in an audible voice. I've heard some preachers preach who had tremendous voices. Alexander Scorby read the Bible for the blind, and it became so famous they sold millions of copies of Alexander Scorby reading the Bible. He was a dramatic actor. There have been preachers who had those deep bass voices that when they spoke, their voice was just so tremendous. It was like you're listening to the voice of God. But God doesn't speak to us in that way, in an audible voice, something we can hear. Because God has finished His Word. It is complete. And if God spoke, we'd have to add another book to the Bible. And so God doesn't speak in that way. I don't even like to read or hear someone say, God told me this, or they write, God spoke to me and said this, or something like that. What most of them mean is God impressed upon my heart something that was so real to me, it was so evidently from God, that it was like God was speaking to me personally. God gave Elijah the help and protection that he needed, and he revealed to him his plan. He was to go and anoint these kings, and they were going to bring a great deliverance, and he was to go and anoint another prophet who would take his place when the time came. God has revealed his will in his word. God has revealed his love in his word by giving his son to die in our place. God has revealed his plan for the ages in his word. If we just study the word of God, we know what's going to happen in historical events till the end of time. He has revealed our future. We are looking for the imminent return of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the clouds, where he shall call us up to heaven to be with him forevermore. Call that the rapture. The forcible seizure, where Christ descends into Satan's realm in this present evil world in which we live and takes out of this his people for his kingdom. And then upon this earth will be the tribulation. My friend, don't get left behind. I don't remember a lot of things in my childhood. My daughter was remembering things last night when she was 4 years old. I don't remember anything like 4 years old. I remember very few things of the next couple of years after that. A few little things here and there. But I remember vividly going to Ebonport Elementary School in the first grade when I was 5 years old. Turned six in mid-September. And I got caught up watching the big boys, seventh and eighth graders, playing football. Back then, elementary school went to the eighth grade. You graduated and then you went to high school. And I was watching them play football out there behind the building, and I got caught up in it, and the buses would meet down there, and all the people were waiting for their buses. I'd run down to the building and look. The buses hadn't come. I'd run back up there and got caught up in the football game. And all of a sudden, that feeling came over me. Uh-oh, I done messed up. I ran down there to the building. There wasn't a soul left on the parking lot, not a bus, not a car, not a person. It was all gone. Somehow those buses had come and gone. I was so caught up in watching the football game, I didn't pay any attention to what was going on. And there are a lot of people so caught up in living life and going for the pleasures of this world in which we live, they're not paying any attention to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come one day and take us to heaven. And when that happens, my friend, it'll be too late to get prepared, because that event will happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. God has revealed that to us. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us as we read and study the Word of God. And thank God for the remnant of people like you here today who love God and want God and want to learn about God and want to serve God. And you help each other keep going by the fact that you're serving God. Secondly, it is the natural process for a Christian to grow, to gain strength and to learn more, like Elijah gained what he needed from the angel to go in the strength of that. We grow through the Word of God and gain knowledge and strength to help us in daily life. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you'll turn there, I won't stay long. I'm running out of time. 2 Peter chapter 1. I won't read the passage, just verse 1 through 13 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 says, God's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. He's given us exceeding great promises, precious promises. And He said, beside this, add diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, which is the word for love. It is a natural process for us to grow, and as we grow, we need to add these things to our faith. We need to add these things to our spiritual growth process. We have become partakers in the divine nature of God. And we need to add to our faith so that we are closer to God and know God better and are equipped to serve God in a better way. Equipped to handle the difficulties and the troubles and the trials of life we face. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore then, I beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. We need to grow so that we can draw closer to God. We need to grow so we can please God. God desires that we grow. He's told us to desire His Word like a newborn babe desires milk. Psalm 37:23, God orders the steps of a good man and delighteth in his way. We grow closer to God. We learn that God is guiding the steps we take. We should grow to fulfill God's purpose in our life. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We've seen in this study already that mature believers are like-minded and live by the same rule or standard that they live by. And we grow that we might reveal God to the world in which we live. Other people are dependent on what we do for God if they're going to make it to heaven or not. This church reaches to save souls, and we have a part in all that this church does. And God's grace revealed in us, our study and our progress is a testimony to the grace of God. We're to be the lights of the world, and a light dispels darkness, and it brings great comfort when there is danger. My friend, this is a dark world in which we live, and there is a danger looming of the judgment of God one day upon this world. And we can show them the way to get to safety and security in Jesus Christ. And it's important that we grow and reveal the grace of God so that others can be saved. It's important we grow to fulfill God's commands. Philippians 2, verse 12 through 16, the Bible tells us that God is at work in us to will and do of His good pleasure. So we're to work out our salvation because God is at work in us. Keep working. We're to do it without murmuring and complaining like Israel did. Do y'all know we're to do it without murmuring and complaining like Israel? Did you catch that part? Sons of God with a testimony above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Why are you here today? Come here to hear the Word of God. Come here to hear from the Lord. Come here to get something from God. Somebody might be here because they need something desperately today from God. And they're praying in agony and secret at home that God would do something now before it's too late. And some of us sense the need that we've got to get hold of God. That woman with the issue believed when Jesus passed by her that she could just touch the hem of His garment, she would be made well. And she did, and she was made well. We need to get hold of God, friends. Our nation depends upon it. Our people, our families, our own sanity. And whether or not we're going to accomplish anything in this near future for the Lord depends on if we're close to God or not. Let's stand together, please. Why are you here today? What is it that you want from God? and all the stories that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, of washing the feet of the disciples with Peter, who didn't want Jesus to wash his. And Jesus said, if I don't wash them, then I have nothing to do with you. Peter said, well, then wash my whole body. Wash my head and everything. Jesus said, no, just your feet are sufficient. He said to them in both these cases, go and do thou likewise. In these moments, while maybe our heart's a little more tender and our decision is turned toward God, let us not go out these doors like starting a new exercise program we do for a week and we get sore and we quit and don't do it anymore. Let's establish something that we seek God in our lives, because so much depends on it. Father, I ask you blessing on your people here today. I thank you for the remnant of believers that love you and serve you in this life and who put you first and obey you in this world today. And I pray for this nation today, God. I'm concerned and believe that it may take a great humbling before the nation as a whole would have an effect to turn back to God. But if that's what it takes, Lord, help us as Christians to be willing to face whatever it takes. We've got people that need to be saved, and we pray the same for them. Whatever it takes to bring them to Christ. So bless this invitation to decisions we make. In Jesus' name, amen.